Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the First Thoughts episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. The First Thoughts is when we get the opportunity to do our first impressions after watching the episode, what we saw. We take notes and then go from there. Right. So my name is Jeff Roni, and I'm joined by the Wookiee and...
Colleen Roni.
Unbelievable.
And I am not knitting today.
The Wookiee loves to join us, and you are not knitting now.
No, I knitted earlier today when we went to WonderCon, which is where we saw the episode first.
Yeah, we had amazing. A wonderful opportunity to go see Adam Horowitz and Edward Kitsis at WonderCon, yes. Which was, there were some questions about, was it a Once Upon a Time convention? And it wasn't.
No, it's WonderCon, which is a I think the way I understood it was that it's a scaled back version of Comic-Con.
Right.
So it's comic book related, but it's not specific to Once Upon a Time.
Yes, and it was local here, so we went and paid the expo fee and got to sit in on the session. So
yes.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And we saw the episode and we got a gift.
We did indeed.
So
pretty amazing.
The gift was what?
It's a little notebook, like a journal, and it's hardcover, but it's spiral bound, and the front cover is a very dark brownish black, and embossed in gold on the front is the Once Upon a Time logo, which is found on Henry's book. So it's like our own mini version of Henry's book. It's really cool.
Yes, and we all got one. And we passed
everybody
it down.
There. Yeah.
It was funny. It was like church, you know, take one and pass it down and all that. So
yeah, it was kind of
It was
funny.
Interesting. Yeah. So yeah. We got that and we saw the episode and we heard the Q&A. And so I tweeted out some things. So, but yeah. I don't want to cover that.
I just want to touch on
what happened today.
Yeah,
so we did see Heart of Darkness.
Yes. Twice now.
Yes. Which is a book by
Joseph Conrad, I believe, is the name of the author.
Okay. And it was also the name, another name.
Well, it was the basis for Apocalypse Now, the movie Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, we began the episode, and the first thing I noticed were flaming arrows. I hadn't seen them before, so...
No, that's true.
I kind of noticed first use of certain things.
Right.
So we saw the crossbow a few weeks back, and now we see fiery arrows.
Yes.
So it's kind of like we're going through this changing and getting more futuristic, if you will, weapons throughout the process.
More bow and arrow. Advanced weapons.
Crossbow, fiery arrow. So we saw Red.
Yes.
I don't even know if we should call her Little Red Riding Hood, but we saw Red.
We did.
Use her wolf power.
Right.
During the full moon.
Right. Well, it was the fact that she has accepted who she is. She knows what she needs to do to to keep it under control. And she used that for good instead of bad. So she's learning how to control that, which is amazing.
Yep.
She was just amazing. She was really badass in that opening scene.
The eyes change and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And the king's army were coming toward them. Mm-hmm. And so she, it
bought
was really interesting.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. Which is awesome.
So then the next scene was Mary Margaret being photographed at the sheriff's office.
Yes. Mugshots.
Doing the mugshots. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought of, because Emma said, turn to the right, I said, Raising Arizona. It's kind of, that's the first thing I thought of.
That's funny.
Anyhow.
That's a fun movie.
Then the next scene we see, and this is going to sound like a review because I took a lot of notes, mm-hmm. and I've seen it twice. So.
Well, yeah.
It reminded me a bit of Shrek.
Oh, in yeah,
that Snow White was singing and little bird flying around.
Well, it was actually, it was also a toss to the Walt Disney version of the movie as well, because she was very singing with the animals and the birds and stuff.
Well, but the twist at the end was not.
Well, yeah. Obviously, that wasn't Disney, but the singing with the birds and the red bow in the hair.
Yes.
Even though she had long, curly hair, the red bow in the hair. And then it was really cute. It was very funny.
The bird, and this was discussed in the commentary mm-hmm. for the DVD that was sold not too long ago at Target, is that the bird is yellow and green.
The real bird in
the real life. Bird that was flying around. But they digitally make that bird blue.
Yes.
And we also got confirmation of that from Jeffrey Kaiser on Twitter tonight.
Nice.
So, yes. And I was wondering why Snow White hates birds. And the only thing I can come up with is because they were used with David. And so maybe that has a tie together.
Well, I think she's just angry at everything in that scene. I don't think she hates birds because she ultimately uses them and they love her and she, you know, she has a relationship with them. So I don't think she hates them. I think she was just angry about everything.
Okay. All right. Yeah, she didn't like crickets much either.
She didn't like anything
variety,
of any kind. Yeah. But yeah, she was just very angry, and she was a little crazy, which was kind of interesting to see. Loved her costume though. I don't know if you paid attention to it.
Yep.
It was gorgeous, but it had a very samurai feel to it.
Okay.
That's what I got out of it.
The Snow White costume?
Yeah, Snow White when she was in there.
Okay.
In the room. Because it was all white with gold trim, right? Okay. And she had a gold kind of belt that was wrapped around multiple times. So it had that like Japanese sash feel to me.
I'll have to watch that again.
Yeah.
Because what I saw was the red or the blue and white, the classic. Maybe I put it together in my head because that's what I wanted to see. As Snow White.
Maybe.
So.
Yeah.
The intervention scene was probably the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
That was classic. That
was really incredible. Very funny. So the dwarves outdwarfed themselves, and
they
Jiminy
did.
Cricket was fantastic.
Oh,
it was
totally.
It was just so funny. Of you know, poor Grumpy had to kind of set the whole thing up. Yeah, we made something special. Come on in.
Special dinner. Come and get it.
You know, like those intervention shows, you know, you come in the room and then all of a sudden you see everyone and then it starts to fall together and then you see Jiminy Cricket and it was pretty funny. So, and then they started to read their little
notes. Yes, well, and I thought it was really funny when Sneezy started to read it, and it was kind of like, it's very much like how an intervention, well, from what I've seen on television and stuff, I've never been in one in real life, so I don't know. But I thought it was really funny that he kind of read it very woodenly. You know, you brought bales of hay when you know I have an allergy. It was just very funny when he kind of like he'd written down the point he wanted to talk about. And then he got into the whole like just, you know, he went to his own feelings. It was very funny.
Yes.
Very good delivery. And happy. Oh, my goodness. He was like not happy.
Yeah.
He was so not happy.
So my list was Sneezy, Happy, and Grumpy all had lines tonight.
Yes, they did.
We're still waiting patiently for Sleepy, Bashful, and Dopey.
Yes.
And, well, we've heard Doc, but not in this episode.
Right. Well, so. Dopey supposedly doesn't have lines because he didn't talk.
Fair enough.
But anyway.
It's going to make it tough for an episode. I want a
honestly,
Dopey episode.
Honestly, though, the boys did an amazing job conveying their particular personalities. Mig was very bashful, and you could see it. It was really cute. He was very bashful, and Dopey was just—he was adorable. He was just Dopey.
So, yes.
Anyway,
I can't wait to see them in action, but I don't want to skip to the end.
So yeah, I know.
We'll keep moving forward. I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that Snow White's not a dwarf,
mm-mm,
but I was kind of wondering if a name would show up on the pickaxe when she grabbed it. But she grabbed somebody else's pickaxe.
She grabbed somebody's pickaxe.
So it was already named.
Yeah, it was already named probably, yeah.
But, anyway.
Or did the name disappear because she took it? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because the name is for the one who uses it. So when she took it, did the name disappear and it didn't have a name on it? That'd be interesting,
yeah. I noticed for the first time that Regina held Mary Margaret's hand.
Oh, yeah.
And
Emma kind of looked at that too and was like, what are you doing?
I thought I heard maybe it was an orchestral kind of highlight, mm-hmm, right about the time when she let go. And I thought that we were going to see something.
Hmm.
Something.
Yeah, but. Because I think the way that she let go or did Mary Margaret pull away a little bit?
Probably Mary Margaret pulled away, but.
Or. Yeah. I wonder, it was kind of almost like she was trying to read her thoughts a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think she was afraid that if she kept the contact, she would trigger memories in Mary Margaret that she doesn't want to trigger. Do you know what I mean?
Possibly, yeah.
So, because I'm guessing she must know what the trigger is. Do you know what I mean? Contact, close contact, right. You know, and maybe she understands that that's how people are starting to remember stuff. I'm just speculating here. Mm-hmm.
So note there was no signs of break-in when they were discussing the box.
Right.
And
which turned out to be Mary Margaret's jewelry box.
Right.
Which was interesting. It still looks to me like the one that the huntsman had. That's not to say I'm telling you, we need to get somebody to verify this.
Well,
did somebody?
I can verify it.
Okay.
No. It's not the heart vault box. He brought the heart in, mm-hmm, in his pouch.
I know he did, but I thought there was a box at one point in time. I'm going to have to go back and watch
it. You have a laptop.
Yes, I know.
You have abc.com and Hulu. You can watch it.
I think I will
I'm
do
telling
that.
You.
Okay, but I'm just saying it looked very familiar to me. Anyway.
No.
Even if all it was a replica of the one from the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs Disney movie. I'm telling you, yes, it looked just like it.
No.
Okay, back me up on this, girls.
Some of the commenters want us to argue, and this is what you get. So,
anywho, back to that.
So the first thing when she said there was no sign of a break-in, I go, well, of course, because of the keys.
Right. Well, I didn't. Well, yeah. I mean, I knew it was Regina. I didn't think about the keys specifically, but I knew she had somehow gotten in. And then when Henry, showed up with the keys later, I'm like, oh right, yeah, the key. And then I did actually. I take it back. I remember the first time I saw it, I did say yes, the keys. Regina has master keys. She can get in anywhere. So
right.
Anyway,
the scene when Snow White uses that string or rope or whatever to knock the knight off his horse.
Yeah.
And then the rest of that sequence was chilling.
It was
absolutely chilling.
Crazy dark.
So it reminded me of Misery. I don't know if you've ever seen Misery.
Nope.
But one of the things that the lady, I can't remember her name from the book or
Kathy
the movie.
Kathy Bates?
Well, Kathy Bates played her.
Oh, but the name. Okay, yeah, I don't know.
She broke his legs to keep him in the house.
Right.
So he couldn't leave. And so that's just the first thing. Just, I don't know.
Snow was scary.
So
she was really scary.
What was interesting also is that when she was describing what this pickaxe could do,
mm-hmm,
it sounded like any number of, and you could pick any psycho Silence of the Lamb weirdo person describing what they're going to do to the victim.
Yeah, it was creepy.
And it was chilling.
It was so very creepy.
They've gone dark. And so,
which we expected that they would do.
What I was wondering is when we cut back to it, she's putting the sword back in the sheath, and I wonder what she was using the sword for. Did she cut clothes off of him or something?
No,
or
she stole his sword. She stole his sword, is what I think.
Okay.
Because he had a sword. So she was just putting the finishing touches on stealing his uniform. That's what I think.
No, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. How many times has Snow White been disguised, and what has she been disguised as? If we would include this knight get up.
Well, for sure two that I can think of, but probably more than that.
Okay.
Because she was disguised as the bandit when she hijacked Prince Charming and Abigail.
That wasn't a disguise, I wouldn't think. The only other time
she
I was thinking
she wasn't even in this
of,
costume, though. She never got into the costume.
Right. The only other thing I can think of is as a flower deliverer person when she was going to King George's castle to go visit Prince Charming.
Was she really disguised, though?
Yes.
I mean, I don't remember, but anyway.
She kept hiding her face.
Kept hiding her face. It's not disguise. Disguise to me means a whole costume getup, completely changing your look. But hiding herself like that and sneaking around, she's done that a few times now.
All right. So it would appear that the potion that Snow White drank erased her memories and also took away the love that either she had.
Right.
All of it. Or the love that was associated to the memories, which would be her true love.
Well, it was interesting because she said, or Grumpy kept telling her, you've changed. It changed you. And then Regina said, when she confronted David, love will, or having heartbreak like that will change you. Or she said it to Mary Margaret or somebody. She said it to one of them. Oh, it may have been Emma, but she said, you know, I lost someone very dear to me and it changed me.
Well, it'll make you do.
Well, she said that to Mary Margaret. Then when Emma pulled her outside after she was done interrogating, she pulled her outside and she said, you know, it'll make you do unspeakable. She said her heart broke and it'll make you do unspeakable things.
Mm-hmm. You saw Bambi.
I did.
A little figurine.
Figurine of Bambi in
Bambi in there. Next to the lamp.
Yes. Behind Emma's head when she was in the apartment looking and Henry came in. Yes, I did see Bambi. It was very cute.
And so the first time I saw it, I was bugged. And I did see a few tweets about it that people were kind of bugged. But
what?
If you had a hunting knife wrapped in some kind of cloth and the air came on, then the air is going to push through that and start to kind of jostle it around. And you may hear a kind of clunk, 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 clunk. See, initially, I thought someone was like knocking or banging to kind of lead you to that area, but possibly it was the air came on.
Well, that's what I think it was, is the air came on, the heat or the air, something, one of the two. Some forced air was coming through that vent, and that's what rattled it.
And they definitely said hunting knife.
Yes.
Which reminded me of John Locke, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
So.
Actually reminded me of the Huntsman, but anyway.
Yeah, that too. So the one I thought was interesting is this whole process, right? The knife was planted to be discovered. And I guess it would be a matter of time when the heat kicked on, then it would hear it. But it was almost, it could have been any time.
Well,
so that's fine.
And here's the other thing. I mean, we don't know. We didn't see what was inside that vent. So we don't know if something else was put in there to make it rattle against. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because think about it. If Regina put it in there and she was banking on the air moving it around and rattling it up against the side, I think that's a little too far-fetched.
Okay.
So maybe something else is down there that Emma didn't see or didn't feel, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or maybe not. I mean, it was a somewhat, it didn't look like it was that sturdy of a knife. I mean, it looked like it was sort of decent blade. Sorry. It was a decent blade, but it wasn't like it was huge and heavy. Right. It didn't look heavy. Do you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm thinking that's maybe why she was banking. And again, depending on the angle, that would also make a difference. So
yes.
Anyway.
So Ruby looked more grown up now.
She did.
She did not have the striking red lipstick. I didn't see her shoes, but
no, and
one could assume that she has grown up a little bit.
Well, she has, because her hair is not red-tipped and she doesn't look as wild. She's very more subdued and more mature looking. Yeah, she's grown up.
But there's a wolf that resides within. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave it at that. The little exchange that August had with Henry was kind of funny. You can't find answers at the bottom of the mug like that. So
typically what you say to someone who's drinking alcohol.
Correct. And did you notice what August was drinking?
He was drinking water. He asked for, can I have a glass of water? Mm-hmm. So he went for the water. Yeah, that was interesting.
So then we move into, you know, a segment that I kind of resonate with. You know, we've got water. Then we talk about, you know, a very interesting discussion about some people need faith.
Right.
And he said, I believe, and Henry, you believe, we have faith, but some people need proof.
Mm-hmm.
And August said, I'm here to reach or help or change someone who needs proof, which is Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And so the faith and proof kind of takes me back to the exchange next to the well. And someone, I remember, it was someone emailed and said that the woman at the well in that Bible story and kind of figured that into to the discussion about the well and faith and all that. So, but I thought it was a really interesting discussion. And August said he's a believer, and he's helping other people to see the light.
Right.
And it was very direct. You know, if something was veiled, that's one thing. But this was very direct language, and it reminded me a lot of Lost, in that there were certain things that are said that certain people can definitely relate to, you know, on a belief level.
Mm-hmm.
Certain words mean certain things.
Right.
So, anyway.
Well, but here's the more important piece of that conversation that was just kind of tossed out there a little bit. But I'm telling you, it confirms what I've been saying about him all along, in my opinion. I could be so wrong, but I just don't think I am. He said, when he told Henry that he looks for answers in books because he's a writer.
Right.
And so Henry said, yeah, it's just a book. And he goes, yeah, but they're stories. And he goes, yeah, but aren't all books. And he said, that really happened. Right. And he goes, you think it's real? And he goes, as real as I am. Pinocchio became a real boy.
Right, right.
I still think it's Pinocchio.
Okay.
And I think that just cemented it for me even more than everything else that led up to this. So,
okay,
I still hold to my theory. We shall see how it plays out.
All right. So then there was a couple of different variations of this statement. Prince Charming said, she's not a killer. I know her.
Mm-hmm.
Emma said, she's not a killer. I know her. Almost exactly the same thing about for Prince Charming, Snow White, Emma, Mary Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And then David said, she's a good person. I know her to Regina when he was talking to her. And which I thought that was a strange visit. That was.
Well, but I think he did visit Madame Mare. Because he knows that she was friends with Catherine, and because he doesn't think she's all bad. Because did she or did she not say?
Well, it's the contact for him.
Right. She's the contact for him. But also, more importantly, the conversation they had, did she not tell him that, you know, sometimes evil stares you right in the face and you don't even know it. Evil doesn't look like evil. And which I thought was very interesting, and a thought struck me a few minutes ago, is that evil is the word live backwards.
Right.
So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just tuck that away. Don't know that that means anything. Just wanted to throw that out there.
So Regina frames Mary Margaret.
Right.
And Mr. Gold is going to deal Mary Margaret out of it.
Yeah.
So we have this clash again of these two powerful entities.
Yes.
And the, if you look at it, it's, you know, a bit like kind of the classic good versus evil. And then everyone else is kind of a pawn in the game, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everyone has their part to play.
Yes.
In this chess game.
Uh-huh.
So.
And I love the fact that Rumpel got his things that he wanted simply by making deals with these folks.
Right.
He was, he's amazing anyway, but he was really, really great tonight. He just had all the right moves. Dude, when James went to go visit him, he was just on fire.
Right.
He had some fantastic moves. James had the sword right on his chest, and he just, with a wave of his hand, flicked it off. But the way he did it was just so, I can't even explain it. It was awesome. And just everything he said and did just kind of had that, you know, anyway.
I
had a little fangirl moment there.
Right. I kept looking at the story of Mary Margaret. And Emma as well is a bit like Anakin Skywalker and Daniel from The Karate Kid. Is that in this process of the Mr. Gold and Rumpelstiltskin both said of Snow White and Mary Margaret, I'm invested in your future. Mm-hmm. Very much like Palpatine said, we'll be watching your progress with great anticipation or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was this idea that you're not ready now, but you are going to be important. So
right.
The future is going to be very interesting, but you're not there yet. You're learning. And so, you know, there was an exchange between Mary Margaret and Emma in the jail, and it was just Emma needed Mary Margaret to have faith in her. And, you know, Mr. Gold tried to explain to her, you don't know how powerful you really are. So it's just that idea of just identity and believing in yourself, which ties in with the whole faith aspect and proof and all that. So anyway, that was kind of all intertwined in this.
Well, it really was because, like you said, I mean, we talked about this at the beginning, but when Ruby figured out that she had more value than she thought she did,
right.
Look at the transformation.
Yes.
So once they figure out how much value they have, they really can kind of make some huge changes and make a difference. And that's what we saw with Ruby and with Red. So that was really cool.
So then it was another line. It says, you took away love and there's a hole in your heart. And that's been used in songs and sermons and things forever. Right. But anyway, just, it was an interesting idea that there's something missing and she wanted to fit. And Prince Charming was concerned that she was going to fill it with darkness.
Yeah.
And that's actually, you know, the religious, you know, allusion to, when something is gone, you need to fill it with good things in your life.
Right.
Because if you don't, it can be filled with bad things again. Sure. So.
No, that makes sense.
The love is the most powerful magic of all.
Yep.
And I never really considered love as magic. I don't know. I think it's a lot of things, but not magic. I guess you feel like you're under a spell when you love someone. But
I see where they're going with that.
Yeah.
I think that love is a choice, but once you commit to it, I think you can have some pretty amazing things happen. Mm-hmm. So that's just, yeah.
Rumpelstiltskin asked a question, and he's asked it before, and I never really focused on it, but I focused on it tonight. He said, what is it you really want?
Mm-hmm.
And I think many times when people went, they ask you know, and it could be the same type of a question as maybe someone wanting some prayer or guidance or counsel or something. And then the question really is, what do you really want, though? Mm-hmm. You know, is it this? Is it this kind of short-sighted thing? Or is it the bigger picture? And I think that was interesting in this question is, and Rumpelstiltskin's done it a number of times.
Yeah.
He said, you're not here for that.
Right.
What are you really here for? You know, and so anyway.
He knows.
Yeah. So
he's
I wanted to kind of point that out because I don't think I have before.
Well, and the other thing he said to her too is, how far are you willing to go?
Right.
He said that to Regina. He said, and then Mr. Gold said the same thing to Emma.
Right. And Regina said, and I think it was back in episode...
As far as it takes.
Three.
It was...
Two.
It was
the thing you love most. Mm-hmm. And she says, as far as how far are you willing to go? As far as it takes.
Yes.
And
that's what she said.
This time.
He said, how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to go as far as it takes?
Emma.
And Emma said, farther.
Right.
So that was where he was like, perfect.
So verbally, it sets Emma up to be mm-hmm. stronger.
Right.
Or willing to risk more and probably give up more. And, you know, if you listen back to the early podcast, we discussed David B's theory mm-hmm. that if, in fact, Emma is the savior, that she will die to free or to break the curse or something like that, whatever mm-hmm. the end mm-hmm. result is that she will die. And so those types of statements like, how far are you willing to go, as far as it takes, farther, then that really opens up just anything.
Sure.
So anyway, it was interesting, the situation, and I know that Rumpelstiltskin set up Snow White to shoot an arrow at the queen at a certain spot, and he explained to Prince Charming that she would be in that direct spot and warned him to stop her or whatever.
Right.
And it reminded me of the Kennedy assassination. Mm. I've been to Dealey Plaza mm-hmm. down there, and it was interesting to look out the window. But that's what I thought of, just kind of the planning this assassination, and you have to shoot an arrow mm-hmm. from this point. And it was interesting to see when she was watching, there wasn't a clearing until right before this kind of half cut off tree. Mm-hmm. Then there was this opening, and then that's when she shot, and that's when Prince Charming jumped in front of it. And so
I honestly thought he was going to knock the arrow or knock the bow and arrow out of her hand, or knock it so it hit, you know, a tree somewhere else. Like, and I didn't envision him getting shot, but that was awesome.
Well, he knocked an arrow away from Ruby.
Yeah, he did. Well, with his sword.
In the first scene.
Yeah, he deflected.
It was with his hand.
No, I'm pretty sure it was his sword, because I heard the clink. I heard the clink of metal on the arrow tip.
Okay, deputies, I hope you're listening to all these little things. So if you can do a little blog post then.
Uh-huh. Because if he deflected it with his hand, he would have been shot in the hand.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I believe it was his sword.
All right. So then let's go to, well, let's not talk about that point yet. He said, show yourself again, Prince Charming. And he said that last time when it was the guardian of the Lake Nostos.
Yes, yes.
So Prince Charming, he said that to Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
So Prince Charming made it in farther than Gaston did. Gaston just
he burst through the door.
Front little stoop.
Yeah, he burst through the door.
We see a bear in Rumpel's estate.
Yeah.
Was that one of the three bears?
That's what I would think.
We've seen a bear claw. Well, we mentioned a bear claw Emma was eating, and now we saw a bear.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We see Goldilocks. We've seen some blondes.
We have seen some blondes.
In Granny's diner.
You never know. And in Mr. Clark's store, too.
Yep. That's true.
Who knows?
So location again came into play.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Rumpelstiltskin needed to know exactly where the fairy godmother was. Why? We don't exactly know.
We think it was to steal her wand, but anyway.
Right. So location was important, and it came up again because he said you can't kiss her unless you know where she's at.
Right.
Now, kissing really didn't come into play. He just wanted him to stop her from killing the queen.
Right.
But he gave her the bow to kill the queen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just interesting. He's playing everybody. He's both ends against the middle. He's giving this stuff out. You know, so
he's got a plan. He's a man with a plan, and he knows how it's going. And when people, that's why I think he stole the fairy godmother's wand, so that he could be the one to give her. I mean, that's just, you know, So,
no question about that. So, and it was interesting. He said that Snow White will become as evil as the evil queen is if she kills her.
Yeah.
And that, in a way, reminds me of the Zoso dagger.
Yeah, that kind of fleetingly went through my head too. And the reason why I said that is because, or reason I thought that is because when he killed the Dark One, he took on the Dark One's power. And therefore, I think he was telling him, you don't want her doing this, because once she commits that act, she's going to end up being just like her.
And was maybe the golden arrow that she shot part of that? Maybe the tip was part of the knife? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Because
it didn't look extraordinary to me. It didn't look very extraordinary to me. It just looked like an ordinary... Actually, you know what it did? This is going to sound crazy. But there was kind of a stripy point, a stripy part of it, real close to the tip. It reminded me of Robin Hood, Men in Tights, the Patriot arrow that he... I know that sounds wackadoodle,
but... It actually reminded me of Granny's arrow. Because when I looked at it, it didn't have a classic kind of what we can, an American Indian arrow.
No. It was very much medieval looking.
It looked
arrow.
Yeah. So, and from what I remember about the whole Zoso knife, it was, you had to touch it, and it was like a conduit. So when you kill that person, then it came and it changed you, and it gave you the evil or whatever.
That's what I'd say.
So the keys, those interesting skeleton keys, came into play again.
Yes, they did.
And you mentioned that on the third time it worked. And what I noticed that Henry made Emma actually use the key so that she could realize that Henry was telling the truth.
But then again, and then let's go one step further. He told her exactly which key to use.
Right.
He said this one.
Right. So he may have been kind of playing around and maybe not this one.
Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe he just realized it when he saw it and he wanted her to do it so she would believe. Because again, if he'd opened it up, then it would have been, well, yeah, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, sure, you know, it's your mom's set of keys. I thought it was funny. She goes, you stole this from your mom? Well, yeah, but.
I have a crazy theory.
Okay.
So Prince Charming was warning Snow not to kill the evil queen.
Right.
And when you think back over all the episodes, I wonder how many warners there have been.
Okay.
Before someone makes a huge mistake.
Don't do it.
Someone says...
Emma's done it a few times.
Right. And I'm just thinking that maybe there are two types of people. They're the people that kind of nudge you into doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a warner. Say, wait a minute, don't do that. That's going to, no. So anyway, I wanted to kind of toss that out there. Because then that takes care of the idea that I've had that sometimes, well, in Lost, there was the Jacob, there was the good.
Right.
That kind of appeared and kind of nudged you into doing something for the right reasons or something good. Or then there was the man in black that was nudging you or advising you to do something wrong.
Yeah.
To get power or whatever. So I just want to kind of throw that out there. Catherine said that she was hurt. And we saw a lot of these types of things tonight where things were taken out of context.
Yes.
Catherine said she was hurt. That could mean that she was, her heart was broken and she was hurt, something. Or that could have meant that she was hurt physically. And the same thing is when David was seeing those flashes when he was being hypnotized, is don't kill her now.
Well, but here's the thing. So. Okay, so here's what kills me about this. Now, and I did see somebody mention this, and I kind of thought the same thing when I first saw it, too. He didn't recognize that in his memories that Archie was helping him remember. He didn't notice they weren't dressed in normal clothing, that Snow had really long, curly hair.
Yeah, right.
But then, okay, so here's my theory on why he didn't notice that. And somebody goes, typical male, but I don't think it's that at all. Because actually, believe it or not, when I've cut my hair and gotten different hairstyles, the guys are the ones who notice more than the girls. but what I think is that, you know, when you have a dream, and it seems very real, you remember, you see that there are details of the dream that don't quite fit with reality as you know it. But you kind of say, well, yeah, I know it was Snow, but it didn't quite look exactly like Snow, but I know it was her. And you do, you have people in your dreams and you're like, yeah, I know that that person is so-and-so, even though they don't look exactly like them. So I think that's why he took that and didn't pay attention to it and didn't have a problem with it. That's my only theory on that. Because otherwise, yeah, we were kind of like, I was thinking to myself, he didn't notice that that was Snow White and not Mary Margaret.
Right.
Anyway.
David did not finish talking to Archie.
Nope.
And that's another one of these, especially, basically, in a way, one of the things we saw tonight was a classic murder mystery. And before explaining to the doctor what he was seeing, he just said, no, you can't help me. I have to go.
Right.
So someone doesn't know.
But he was, I think he was doing that because he was protecting Mary Margaret.
Okay.
That's why. Because if he said that to Archie, now Archie knows. Archie's now the one who has to say, oh, guess what I was told? Because that's, you know, that's more evidence against Mary Margaret. And it was a very heartbreaking scene between the two of them in the jail, jail when he went to go visit her. I was just shocked at how, you know, and I thought it was brilliant the way she explained it to him. And she was very calm, cool, and collect when she did. Even though her heart was breaking, she was great. She was great with him. And it was so sad to see him start crying and to see her start crying. And it was very sad.
Jiminy Cricket said that Snow White has lost sight of who she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that she forgot.
She's lost sight
of who she is. And I think identity is one of those core themes of the show. Who are you? Who am I really? Does a book mean anything?
Who do you think you are?
Right. I think the biggest thing to me that stood out was that finding someone and dying for someone, two completely different things. That before, finding each other was their love. But then when hardships happen and difficulties happen, that doesn't hold up. But when you would die for someone, that's when Snow White woke up and said, then you really must love me.
Well, I think that's the ultimate sacrifice that anybody can make.
Right.
I mean, on any level, is you would die for someone, that's a pretty big sacrifice.
So it's almost like the love initially was kind of a fun little romantic thing, but then when it becomes more serious, you would die for me. That's serious. So
right, because that spoke volumes and that really showed that he really truly loved her.
And I wrote this down. Snow White needed proof, not faith, in her love for Prince Charming.
Right.
So it's kind of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The Prince Charming in a cage is similar to Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes.
When he was taken away.
Yeah, when he was thrown into the cage like that, that was, yeah.
And Mary Margaret in jail was like Rumpelstiltskin in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Snow White returns, I think we're going to see the dwarf group hugs a lot. So when people return or leave,
yeah,
there's a dwarf group hug.
Well, they all love each other, so, which is fantastic. It was very cute. It was that scene right there is the one that got to me. Mm. That's the one that made me start to cry, because that was just so very sweet and so very, when she, you know, when Grumpy looked up at her and said, "Is it you?" And was like, "Yeah, it's me." And he was like, "All," and everybody was happy and the group hug, and I just, it was very, very sweet and very touching, and I loved that scene. And it was similar to the one with when Grumpy was leaving, but it was a different feel. Mm. And then it was very cute when he was like, "No, that's not what I mean. You can't go. You can't go alone.
Right.
Let's show them what Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs can really do." That was that was epic. That was really epic. I love that.
Well, and that really kind of sets up for, you know, the next group of adventures.
Oh, totally.
And let me take a quick side trip. There was a really neat video game out in the 90s. It was called The Lost Vikings. And it was three Vikings. And each of these Vikings could do different things. One could reach up high, the other could reach down low, and the other could do something else.
Uh-huh.
And so you had to use these three knights differently to get over these things and go through these things and progress through the game. And so it's interesting now that we're going to see the seven dwarves and all their different, what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them are going to be important to the adventures as they go through.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the thing I really focused on was when Mary Margaret was making her bed in mm-hmm. the cell and the key fell down.
Right.
We saw one of the few Dutch angles in Once Upon a Time
mm-hmm.
when she reached and grabbed that key.
Mm-hmm.
And Dutch angles, you know, being used a lot, sounds funny, in Batman, it's a lot of Dutch angles,
okay.
Which the camera is off kilter. We're used to 45 degree angles and up and down when we see films, but a Dutch angle is kind of off kilter,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it was used a number of times in Hitchcock and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. anyway, it was interesting, the Dutch angle. So
yeah, it was interesting. Well, but then the question, and the key, by the way, was a skeleton key. It was one of the other keys, not the same set of keys that Regina had, or was it? Do you know what I'm saying? Henry had that group of keys.
Right.
Was it one of those keys, or was it one of the others? Because it seemed like those keys had, the keys that Henry had, were slightly different than the ones she had. They didn't have the same, the piece.
They looked the same to me, but there was one that most of the keys, from what I remember, had
the skeleton,
the slot, and then there was the two kind of teeth on the end. And when I've seen them before, and that's when she looked at the hole in the door and she said, "What are you talking about? That can't fit in there."
Right, right.
But there was one that looked like, for lack of a better term, a skeleton finger, and it kind of had little loops and drops and things.
But I'm not talking about the end of the key. I'm talking about the other end of the key where it holds on a key ring.
It was the same.
Well, but what I'm saying is, maybe I just missed it, but it looked like the key that he showed her didn't have a skull head for the top of the key. What it looked like was something else, and it almost looked bird-like to me, but I could be totally wrong. And that's what I'm saying. Do they all have the same skull head? Yeah. And I don't know that they do. I would love to see a screenshot of that.
Well, we have them at the website and the blog.
Well, we will on this one.
No, we already do.
Okay.
Honestly.
I'm telling you, this key did not look like the other keys. And I would like to see a screen cap of this key.
Alrighty.
But the key underneath the mattress on the floor was a skull head key. So that's what I'm saying. Was it on that same key ring or was this a different key? And if so, who planted it there? How did it get there? The True. Last cell inhabitant was Mr. Gold.
Right.
Did he have the key?
Well, possibly.
Did Emma take it off of the key ring and leave it there for Mary Margaret?
That's a good point.
Possibly. Did Henry?
Well,
because he was there at one point.
True.
So he's got the key, so he knows where they go.
You know, well, I guess that's the next set of questions is who put that there?
Who put the key there? And I would love to see who did it anyway.
So I love that we had a little Mary Houdini kind of palming the key.
Yes.
Taking the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of talking to her. And then when she left, then she opened it up. So,
well, she had, and then the other thing I noticed is that when Emma came in, Mary Margaret had her head kind of down and she had her hand up on the bar. And then she was listening to Emma as Emma was talking. Emma was pleading with her, please, you know, I've trusted you. You know, I trust you. I believe you're innocent. Now can you please trust me? And that pleading, when she grabbed her hand, mm-hmm. made Mary Margaret snap her head up and look at her. And it was like this very sweet, what I kept thinking was, oh, mother-daughter moment.
Sure.
it was really sweet.
Yep.
But she said, you know, she just had that look on her face, that pleading, like, I promise you I'm going to do everything I can to clear you, you know, that sort of thing. And it was a very sweet moment. I liked it a lot.
Yep. Methods versus results. So I think Emma's kind of crossed a boundary mm-hmm. when initially it was like, I don't like the way you do things. But she does actually when she gets a result she wants for someone that she really cares about.
Well, and that's the thing. I still don't think she likes the methods. What I think she really likes is the results. And she doesn't want to know necessarily what his methods are because she knows as the sheriff she has to be.
Right.
On the up and on the straight and narrow. And so I think knowing that his methods are frequently outside the law, she doesn't want to know. And she doesn't approve of them. But she loves the results. So that's what's important to her.
It's interesting, too, that that Emma really kind of values her position
mm-hmm.
and her job.
Yeah.
Because she was afraid to lose it.
Right.
So
she takes great pride in her work. I also think that it's the thing that gives her a reason to be there mm-hmm. in Storybrooke. So if she loses that, what reason does she have to stay? Because she can't use the Henry excuse because she's not supposed to really spend time with him.
Right.
Apparently Regina has relaxed on that too. I noticed that the last couple of episodes. All of a sudden he's sitting in the sheriff's office. It's like, wait a second, I thought Regina said you couldn't have any contact with him. Apparently she relaxed a little bit on that.
True. And Rumpelstiltskin has bottled love.
Yes, he did. He figured it out.
So now it's the most, and that's what Grumpy said. He's mm-hmm. the most powerful man.
In the world.
In the world. And
he can do anything.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
And you were noticing bottles next to love. There was.
Right between love, there was the moon on the left and the sun on the right. So he's bottled the moon.
On both ends. Of love. Moon on the left and
yes. Sun. Love was in the middle. The bottle of love was in the middle. Moon was on the left. Sun was on the right.
Yep.
So it was real interesting. Very interesting.
And next week it looks like we're taking a completely different turn.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. That is a trippy preview. Well,
the one guest star really kind of clued it in for me. It was Roger Daltrey. That's going to be an interesting.
That's going to be awesome.
So
can you imagine?
Well, we'll see next week.
I know. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
So a little longer first thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, we had a lot to consider today, this time because there were so many amazing moments in that show. So many amazing moments. And actually, you know what? I have to bring one more point up. So the last thing we found out is Catherine is, well, the DNA of the heart belongs to Catherine.
But where's the body? That was my question.
Well, that is true. My question is, well, okay, so is that really Catherine's DNA or is it Abigail's?
Now, let me go further with that. It was interesting and it was brought up in an email, is that everyone's fingerprints are on file.
Yes.
But were they the right fingerprints? So then I'm guessing, was the DNA right for the heart, or was it flip-flopped? If, in fact, Regina is the mayor of the town.
Right.
And if she is in charge of everyone, including the coroner, let's say, or right. the DNA expert.
Right.
She could just say, well, isn't this the DNA, right? So.
Yeah, I suppose that's very possible.
I mean, if it's a frame job, it's a frame job all around.
Well, so. Exactly. And that's the thing. But again, I kind of wonder if Regina went so far as to worry about the DNA, because she probably does know that that's Catherine's heart. But again, is it Catherine's heart or Abigail's? And that's right. the interesting thing.
True. No, we, no. You have a good saying? Point.
So, and then my other thinking is, okay, so she stole the jewelry box from Mary Margaret. She put Catherine's heart, whoever's heart, which she took out herself, because let's face facts, we know she took it out. So, yeah. She did that. So, who knows what else she's done.
So, we have discussed all of our points and first thoughts. So, the next show that we're going to be doing is yes. for our voicemails. So, we'll be playing those, and on Saturday night is devoted to our emails that come in. So here we go. Time to send in your voicemails and time to send in your emails, and we will discuss it throughout the week. So we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Big love to everyone who has downloaded and listened mm-hmm. to this. We have new listeners all the time. So it's thanks fantastic. So much. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you.